All right, thank you all for coming. So next up, we have a very exciting topic, 5G in Modem Manager. Have a round of applause for Alexander.
So let's talk about Modem Manager. Let me know if you don't hear me, because I'm not sure if this is going to work very well. A bit about me first. I think I'm going to keep it like this. I have been the Modem Manager maintainer and developer for the past 12 years. And I've also been involved in developing and maintaining the two libraries that we use to communicate with modems, which are libqmi for the QMI protocol and libmbim for the MBIM protocol. I'm not working at the Google Chrome OS team since 2 years ago. And this talk is going to be about not only how we're going to add 5G support properly in Modem Manager, hopefully, but also how we added 4G and which are the issues that we had when we added 4G and how we are going to overcome these same kind of issues when developing 5G support. So we will look at what went well and what didn't go that well with 4G support. So once we before I joined the Modem Manager project, there was already support for 4G in the sense that you could connect a modem, it was using 4G, and the modem will tell you, hey, I'm using 4G, and then we will expose it, and that's about it. So we were treating 4G yes, as a different mode, like an extra mode. We have 2G, 3G, and now we have 4G, nothing else. So when I joined the project, I started to review the 1.0 API suggestions that were in the mailing list, and the major focus at that time was to support multi-mode devices. So at that time, we had two separate families of modems. We had 3GPP modems, GSM, UMT, SLT. Then you had another family, which was 3GPP2. You had CDMA, EVDO modems for 2G and 3G. And so 3GPP2 had its own standard for 4G. They ditched it. And then they started to use LTE as the standard in 3GPP2 modems as well. So we had these strange 3GPP2 and 3GPP modems, multiple modems, that had to be managed kind of in the same way, but it was very different in nature. Like 3GPP modems require a SIM card. 3GPP2 modems, most of them require to have like some kind of activation with the network to bind your user account to the device itself. And it was a manual activation, automatic activation depending on the carrier. So there were many different things. And managing these new multi-mode devices, we thought it was the most important thing. But it wasn't, because 3GPP2 no longer exists. So can anyone tell me which main feature of 4G we missed because we didn't think of it? No. Much more important than that. Actually related sometimes. So what we missed is the idea that when you attach to the network in 4G, you are actually creating a data network interface between the modem and the network, even if the host hasn't seen it yet. So you actually get an IP address, full data setup communication between the modem and the network in the user plane, but the host knows nothing about that. And why did not we catch that? Because most operators didn't really care about that. They would allow you to send a blank APN during attach, and then that was fine for them. They will tell you back which is the APN that you are using. That was one approach. The other approach was that the settings used for data connection were actually going to be the same ones as used for attach. So you actually, when you kind of connect, you're actually configuring profile number one, which is the one used for attaching Qualcomm modem. There were lots of assumptions happening at the same time. There was also no consolidated approach to define these settings. In known protocols, the MBIM 1.0 spec did not have a way to specify attach settings. And many of the APIs that we developed at that time were based on looking at what MBIM capable modems were doing, right? So where there's a use case where this does not work, which is when the settings are different. And so in 1.10, we added the support to explicitly specify attach settings. This is the case of Verizon, for example, where they have one specific attach APN and one specific data APN. So now we were able to say to the network, hey, we want these specific settings for registration, and then the network will tell us, then, yeah, you could have those, or you can have like a subset of those. You may ask for V4, V6, and then only get back V6. So that's a very, very common thing that may happen. And this was added very late in 1.10, like many years after the 1.0 device API was introduced. Another thing that we missed in 1.0 was the support for profile management. So right now, or up until that moment, the way you connect the modem, you specify all the settings that you want in the connection attempt. And in 1.18, we added a support to say, we already have a set of profiles, maybe even provided by the modem itself, you know, because when you insert the SIM card in the modem itself will boot with some carrier-specific settings, with some predefined profiles. This is very common in US carriers. So you insert a Verizon SIM card, the modem boots with already profiles defined as the way Verizon wants them. And then in that case, you can just say, connect profile 3, and that's about it. So we did miss that. We did miss some other things, which are maybe not as important as that one. Where did we do it well? So the first API that we defined for 1.0 had multiple PDN connections in mind from the very beginning. Even if we did not support them in the same way as it's implemented now, at that time we had modems that were exposed to network interfaces at the same time, physical network interfaces, and we could choose, okay, please connect this one to this APN, please connect this other one to this other APN. The multi-PDN support that we have right now, it's based on multiplexing, so we can have one single physical network interface, but then we can say, okay, I'm going to connect three different PDN connections. I'm going to create three different virtual network interfaces. And then the host can assign different data flows to each of these PDN separately because you have three different network interfaces. So you can do all the routing logic in the host itself. And this very same support was used to support Qualcomm SoC boards with the IPA driver, for example, which requires multiplexing by default. Now, where are we right now with the 5G supporting modem manager? The picture is very similar as what we had before 1.0 for 4G. We just have the way to say that we are using 5G. We can say that we are using 5G SA networks if we only expose like the 5G access technology, but we also have the way to say that we are using NSA, so we are registered in 4G and we will use like a 5G extra bearer when the bandwidth requirements happen, right? That's about it. We don't have any other 5G specific feature for now. What are we missing? So I'm not going to talk about 5G specific features that apply, for example, in the radio interface, because Modem Manager does not really care about any of those. We only want to be able to support things that the host is aware of, right? And that is completely hidden to the host. So one of the things that we are going to try to support is 5G slicing, which is this important word that if you investigate about 5G, it's everywhere. So in 4G networks, there is no clear separation between different types of UEs. A UE is the combination of host and modem. And so in 4G networks, you don't have any differentiation between different UEs. They are all treated in the same way. And in 5G, they do define specific types of UEs with different quality of service requirements. So you may have a UE that wants to have bigger bandwidth. You may have a UE that wants to have like an extreme low latency. You may have UEs that may send data to the network once a day or twice a day, but they need to be spread across a very big area, you know. So in order to support all these different kinds of UEs, 5G introduces the concept of slicing. And so with slicing, you have one single physical network, but then it can be logically divided into separate virtual networks, each of them with its own quality of service requirements. And the separation, this is very important, goes up to the base station, which is something that 4G did not have. So imagine this use case. We have thousands of people here in Fosden, all of them with a phone, and all of them trying to get access to the network. Like there's congestion, there's a lot of radio interference between all the devices. With 5G, what you gain is that you could have a phone using a slice that has a specific base station only for that slice. And so you get like priority access to that, to the network through this slice. And this may happen even with the same PDN. So with this, you have one single APN that you want to connect to the internet. You may have different paths from your host to connect to that same APN based on the quality of service requirements that you have. Now 5G, as I said, is a logical partition of the physical network. And they are defined, they are specified or named by something called single NSS AI. It's a really bad name, I think. And so how are we going to support this in Modem Manager? There are two main things that we need to support. One is during the registration, we want to specify which is the slice we want to connect to at the time of registration. And we can do that. And then you may ask for multiple slices. The network will give you back, okay, you are allowed to use this. You are not allowed to use this one. And you also have available this other one. So this is one simple way of binding, for example, all the traffic of the system to a single connection, to a single slice. This is the case that I told you before. Single, this is a UE connected to two different slices separately. Or both of them going to the same internet APN, and they use completely different virtual network connections in the operator side with different QoS settings. The complex way of using URSP rules is by using the complex way of using 5G slices is by using URSP rules, in the way that the operator will tell you. Which are which is the way that you need to route the traffic through their network. So they will give you rules. The UE receives the rules. In this case, the modem will push the rules to the host, and then the host needs to make all this separate traffic differentiation and move one data flow from one slice and one data flow for another slice. The UE is not. Should not be capable of deciding by itself which slice to use. So because this is like mandated by the network, and so if you try to use a slice that you are not supposed to use, they may kick you out. So that's a way that the network has to control the access to the high privileged slices. And in Mod Manager, the support for the slicing will look very much like a multi-PDN connection. We will have virtual network interfaces created for each slice, and that is about it. There are other 5G features that we could consider, but I'm going to name them here only. So non-GGBB access support, that's basically accessing the operator network through Wi-Fi, for example. You can authenticate to the network through Wi-Fi. And then you also have non-IP-based 5G connectivity. If you have a network connection between, you know, machines using different protocols, you could virtually create a 5G network connection between them without using the IP protocol. Now, how is it going to look like for the next 10 years? I think we need to focus on what went right and try to avoid the mistakes that we made in 1.0. But we also know the limitations because, you know, like everything changes. And what is important now may not be important at all in 10 years. So the planning needs to be done carefully and actually made it in a way that it's... that if in the future you need to change course, then you can do it more or less easily. The first thing we should be doing is remove legacy features. A lot of the structure in the Modem Manager code base is based on this logic of having, you know, 3GPP2 devices as a separate type of devices. We can remove all that. Same for the ports, plain old telephony system, like these dial-up modems. We said we would implement them 13 years ago, and we did not do anything. So I think it's time to say that we're not going to do it. We had enough time to try to do it. And then obviously all the plugins for modems that are very old, we can't remove them. There is no point in having them anymore. The focus should be on 4G and 5G modems and on PCI and USB modems that expose the network interface. So we will acknowledge that there are other types of modems, that is serial modems or USB modems that don't expose the network interface, and you can only do 80 plus PPP connections. Those would still be supported, but let's say like in live support only. Like bare minimum data connection setup, and not thinking about adding many features to those as well. For example, not thinking about trying to add 5G slicing in those devices. It wouldn't make much sense. We may want to have a new API. This API that we are using right now has been mostly untouched. We didn't break API in more than 12 years. I think it's time to do some breakage. As I said before, remove interfaces that we don't want, and probably not the same process as we did for 1.0. In 1.0, I spent 1.5 years with my branch until it was mostly ready to be launched. And I want to change that. That cannot happen again. I don't have as much time as I had that time. So the idea would be to do it progressively and start to adding new APIs. At least the basic ones, and so on. We will have registration settings as a first-class citizen in the APIs. We no longer treat them as something automatic, which is what we do right now. We now want to configure 4G attached LTE settings. We want to configure 5G registration slice settings and several other common settings that you may have in a modem, like the manual versus automatic settings. All those should go in its own separate API with the idea that in the future we may have more, so should be open to updates in the future. Regarding connection management, I think it's time to use profile-based connection management as default whenever possible. There are many reasons for this, especially when you use carrier settings where the modem gives you all the settings that you need to use. There's no point in trying to add new settings on top of those when you already have them. So using profile management is the way to go there. And enable multiplexed connections by default. So as I said, the primary modems to use would be the ones that expose a network interface. All those allow you to do multiplexing. Most of them allow you to do multiplexing. So we should enable that by default. This is one of the main things that I would like to change as well. So right now when you have a modem detected by modem manager and it happens to have voice support, even if you're in a laptop and does not have any audio connectivity, modem manager will try to configure like voice-related stuff, call waiting status, all that. It doesn't make any sense to do that if you know that you're not going to use it. So let's move that to like separate interfaces as they are right now, but as a way that you can actively enable that. And if there is any application with the intent of using voice capabilities, you can, please modem manager, enable voice capabilities in the modem. Then we will enable all the URCs, all the unsolicited message support and everything that needs to be done to support voice, for example. There's another one, yeah. This is the extended wish list. So things that I would love to have, even if they are extremely difficult. So we have QMI proxy and NBIM proxy. Why not have an AT proxy so that other programs can use AT commands through modem, like through the proxy, to do other stuff that does not interfere with the modem manager own control. So if we could have that, it will allow many applications to use AT commands as well. Then we could move GNSS location out of modem manager completely as a separate daemon. There's no reason for modem manager to have all this support for configuring AGPS and injecting extra files to the GNSS module. We do that because the modem has that. But if we have the proxies in place, there would be no reason not to do it out of Modern Manager. And yeah, Rust maybe for binary parsing of messages and all that. That was something that was already investigated. And that is all I had to say.
Thank you very much for this great talk. Do we have any questions in the audience? Yeah.
Thanks for the good talk. I was wondering, how do you test all this? So what is your CI?
In Chrome OS, we have a lot of automatic testing for the modems that we use. So I do rely a lot on that. Like when I joined Google, I found that there were a lot of information metrics about, you know, crashes and things and back traces, and I was like, I need to fix all this. But I do rely also on my own testing, and I do have a home network, a home LTE network with SRS LTE, open 5GS. I have my own SIM cards, and that allows me to do a lot of testing that otherwise I would not be able to do.
Yeah, because I'm like all the slicing stuff that also is very core network dependent. So
yes,
you might run into problems. I
know many operators are doing pilots and like private pilots. There's some open ones. I think that also in the US, T-Mobile is doing it. But for example, for 5G slicing, I think that my home network is enough for this kind of testing.
Thanks.
Next question from the back.
Hi, I'm debugging voice calls on my device, and from Modem Manager I see messages like gained audio, lost audio, and I have no idea what happens after that, and whenever I try to...
So are you using AT commands to control the modem?
No, it does it by itself. When I'm trying to get to the bottom of what's going on in the code, I only see interfaces, behind interfaces, behind interfaces, but where can I find the actual code that makes the audio, like where should I look?
Is there a project? Modem Manager is only in charge of starting the call and hanging up the call, that's, or accepting an incoming call. Nothing audio related. I mean, Modem Manager knows absolutely nothing about the audio path.
You know, who is responsible for getting the audio?
Oh, it depends on the platform, of course. So if you're using Librem 5 phone or something like that, then you may need to talk to them.
Thank you.
Thanks. There was a question from the Matrix, apparently. I'm rushing to the Matrix.
So somebody's asking, can we anticipate 6G features such as sharing machine learning data for connection optimization?
I have no idea about any of that. I'm still in 5G. Maybe in 10 years we will talk about same talk for 6G.
You talked about Rust for the protocol parsing and how there's already been experiments. And it's on your wish list, so I assume those experiments are at least somewhat successful. Can you talk any more about like what those experiments are?
So not much. I mean, I think it's very useful. And I still keep finding bugs, for example, in the 3GPP PDU parsing, which we wrote 10 years ago. You know, and there are still bugs there. Nasty memory-related bugs, you know. So, like, Rust is very promising in that regard.
Cool, thanks.
One more question in the back.
Thanks for the talk. So the question regarding the AT proxy, with all the possible vendor crap, etc. So how do you plan to define if the comment is going to interfere with Modem Manager or not? So is it going to be allow by default or is it going to be forbid by default?
That's why we don't have a proxy yet. That's the main reason, especially because Modem Manager handles a lot of crap that manufacturers push in the AT port. So the idea would be to, in the same way that Modem Manager disables a lot of URCs that knows that may happen, the proxy could do the same. And so we could still need to work with known URCs as they happen in the world. But I hope that manufacturers will start to use other things than AT at some point in 20 years.
Give a round of applause for Alexander.